Well, hello and welcome to our traditional online service today from St Andrew's and All Saints. It's great to have you with us. If you don't know me, my name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector here of St Andrew's and All Saints, and we're really delighted that you've joined us today. Whenever you're watching, wherever you're watching from, and whatever time you are watching, you're really welcome. We're going to be continuing our series that we've been looking at through Lent, which is a series called Faith Under Pressure. And today, David Ritchie, one of our retired clergy, is going to be speaking on facing fatigue, knowing God's strength. But as we just come to worship this morning, let's first be still and just rest in God's presence. If there are things on your mind that are that your mind is full of right now, and just in your mind, hand them to God and fix your eyes afresh on Him. And we say this opening prayer together. Lord, direct our thoughts and teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, today is a very special day because today is Mothering Sunday. And normally we would be, for those who are coming to church, we would be giving out bunches of flowers to our really important ladies in our congregation. Well, I'm really sorry that we can't do that today. I might drop this one off around at someone else's on the way home. But maybe you will have a neighbour who will drop a bunch of flowers off with you. Or maybe you could actually think about dropping some flowers off or ringing someone else who might appreciate that today. But on Mothering Sunday, we come with a variety of emotions, but I think particularly this year is a hard one, isn't it? Again, that many families are separated. Many families haven't seen their children or grandchildren maybe for a long time. And maybe for some today too, actually you're mourning a mother today. But as we come and gather together, we remember that actually we come and meet with a God who mothers us, who, like a mother, knows us and cares for us and loves us unconditionally. So as we prepare to sing our first hymn, let's just say this opening Mothering Sunday prayer. We gather today to worship our loving, nurturing God, who, like a mother, knows us intimately, loves us unconditionally, teaches us the way we should go, and comforts us in time of need. Praise God, the source and sustainer of life. Amen. And so let's sing our first hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, as we remember particularly those who serve us and comfort us and model Christ to us.
Thank you.
And so let us come to confess before God where we've not cared and served others and lived as Christ has called us to. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thoughts and words and deeds. We've not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today, the fourth Sunday of Lent. Merciful Lord, you know our struggle to serve you. When sin spoils our lives and overshadows our hearts, come to our aid and turn us back to you again. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So Pauline's going to come and read our Bible reading to us, and then David is going to share with us from God's Word.
The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they must never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who was a godless man with great contempt for everyone. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, appealing for justice against someone who had harmed her. The judge ignored her for a while, but eventually she wore him out. "I fear neither God nor man," he said to himself, "but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find who have faith?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's really good to be with you again today and to share God's word with you. Before we begin, let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the scriptures. As we reflect on your word to us this day, make us open to your wisdom, receptive to your will, and courageous in our response. In the love of Jesus, our Saviour, teacher, and friend. Amen. Never give up. Those three words sum up our Bible reading today. And Jesus says, keep going. Don't lose heart. Never give up. And he tells this extraordinary story, focusing on just two people. First of all, there was the judge, a hard, unscrupulous man. He constituted a one-man court. There was no jury. This man would have been one of the paid magistrates appointed by the Roman authorities. And these magistrates were called judges of prohibition or punishment. And this man was a particularly unsavory character. They were known, all of them, as robber judges. And this one, we read, neither feared God nor had respect for people. He was a symbol of power without responsibility. At the other end of the scale is a widow. She's a symbol of all that is poor and defenceless. No social security in place, no man to protect her, no money to bribe the judge, no chance of winning her case. According to Jesus, she had only one weapon, perseverance. The widow kept coming to the judge and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." And in the end, her perseverance paid off. The judge gets fed up with her continual pestering. "This woman is driving me nuts," he says. Actually, there's another word for wearing me out. It can also mean this woman is going to give me a black eye. I don't know whether you've got pictures of Nora Batty type character come to mind. True or not, her persistence, her perseverance wins the day. "I will grant her justice," the judge says in the end. She was determined. She was so sure of the rightness of her cause that she was able to bend the will of that hard, arrogant judge to make him do what she wanted. Never give up. Why did Jesus tell the story? Is God like the judge in the story? Can we eventually win him over to our way of thinking if we keep badgering him with our needs and wants? "No way," says Jesus. As one translation puts it, "Learn a lesson," he says, "from this evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant them justice, and to them he will grant it quickly." The judge discriminates, but God's love is open to all. He shows no favoritism. The judge was deaf to the widow's pleas for justice. But as the Bible reminds us, how gracious God will be when you cry for help. The judge is corrupt. He can be bought. But God knows no partiality and accepts no bribes. The judge eventually answers for selfish reasons, anything for a quiet life. But God answers because he is abounding in steadfast love to all who call on him. Or to sum up, the judge answers the persistent widow because of what she does. God answers our cries for help because of who he is. Never give up. How should we pray? "Never give up," Jesus says. And I wondered, how do we apply his words to our lives today? I want to suggest three levels. First of all, on an individual, personal level. Many of us, I'm sure, have been praying for our children, our parents, our colleagues, our neighbours, our friends. We long that they should come to share the faith that is so precious to us. We may have been praying the same heartfelt prayer for years, and seemingly there's not a flicker of response. But Jesus says to us, never give up. George Muller was an incredible man of faith. Last century, he founded the Muller Homes in Bristol, where over 2,000 children were cared for. He implicitly believed against all the odds that God would provide for their needs. He was once asked towards the end of his life whether he ever prayed for anybody to come to faith, and he hadn't received an answer. And he replied that for more than 65 years, he begged God for the conversion of two people who were yet, as he put it, in their sins. But he added, "I shall meet them both in heaven. My heavenly Father would not lay on me the burden of two people for so many years had he no purposes of mercy concerning them." Never give up. George Muller prayed for those same two people for 65 years. And I guess if you feel very strongly that your children, your partner, your friends don't share your faith, you've been praying for a long time and nothing seems to make any difference, Jesus nonetheless says, never give up. You don't know what God will do. Many of us have faced immense challenges during this pandemic. The loss of employment, illness, bereavement, the upheaval with our children's education, an uncertain future, not being able to plan ahead, you name it. This last week, I had a round-robin email from a Christian organization called Hope Together. You may know of it. The letter from the director, Rachel Jordan Wolf, was headed "Actions That Put a Spring in Your Step." And at the top of her letter, she'd put a verse from Scripture. "Let us not become weary in doing good." And she went on, "As we walk on in this lockdown, or as one family member recently said to me, plodding along, let us keep doing good, even if it is a plod. Plodding on your walk each day, but turning it to prayer. Plodding on in your Zoom midweek group, even when you're all Zoomed out. Plodding on packing another food bank box, wondering if the need will ever stop. Plodding on as we mark 1 year since the start of the first national lockdown. Together, all our plodding is part of the solution as we follow a faithful God who patiently and faithfully never gives up on us." It is indeed a reminder of the faithful God who never gives up on us, and so we must never give up on him. Never give up on an individual on a personal level. Never give up, secondly, on a church level. I believe in answer to persistent faithful prayers of thousands of Christians, God is shaking us out of our complacency. No longer is the Church of England creed as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. We don't know what will be happening in 6 months' time, let alone 6 years' time. This uncertainty is reflected by a Christian journalist who wondered whether the pandemic meant revival or survival. And he said, "At the start of the first lockdown, many Christians became excited that God might be kicking off a new revival. The reports of churches seeing hundreds of newcomers logging in online. There were sales of Bibles that surged, and even Google searches for God and prayer went through the roof." Pete Gregg, one of the founders of the 24/7 prayer movement, said, "Is something stirring? Prayers that some of us have been praying for decades suddenly seem to be finding answers in the most unexpected ways. Never give up." It would be fair to say, however, that others were not so optimistic, fearing the opposite, the collapse of Christianity in this country, as believers locked out of their church buildings struggled to see where God was in this crisis. The picture isn't clear. Is there truth between the two extremes? A recent YouGov poll concluded that the pandemic had a negligible impact on faith. 5% polled said they had faith, or they'd come to faith, or it had been strengthened during the crisis. However, this was offset by 4% saying they'd lost their faith during the pandemic. I don't know whether it was either Mark Twain or Benjamin Disraeli who coined the phrase, "There are lies, damned lies, and statistics." Be that as it may, if you're tempted to be depressed about the church, don't give up. Remember the promise of Jesus, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Let's pray for those who lead us, asking God to give them freshness of vision, the wisdom they need. Let's pray that God will continue to guide us as a church to build ever stronger bridges into the community in which he's set us. Let's pray for those who are making their first tentative steps in exploring Christian discipleship. Never give up. There are so many ways, though, in which we could interpret this parable. So many different ways. Not only on an individual, personal context, not only on a church level, but also on a global level as well. I want to give one example as we finish. The characteristic of the widow was that she was helpless. Her only weapon against the hard-hearted, unscrupulous judge was her perseverance. She would not give up. In the past few years, through the work of Open Doors, many people have been drawn to pray for the church in North Korea. And in a recent booklet that is produced every year about the 50 countries where the Christians are most under pressure, in this current booklet, Open Doors have written, "Being discovered as a Christian is a death sentence in North Korea. You'll be taken to a labor camp as a political criminal. Few believers survive. And everyone in your family will share the same punishment. Many Christians keep their faith entirely hidden, even from their families. Secret police carry out raids to identify Christians. And children even are encouraged to tell their teachers about any sign of faith in their parents' home. A Christian is never safe. Open Doors secret workers are keeping 90,000 North Korean believers alive with vital food and aid through networks in China, as well as providing shelter and training for North Korean refugees in China. One refugee who escaped North Korea said, 'I came to faith in a safe house in China. You would be amazed to see how the Spirit of God is at work in these safe houses.' So many people come to faith, and that's only possible thanks to you. We wouldn't even exist without your prayers." We wouldn't even exist without your prayers. Never give up. There's one question you may still be asking. Why doesn't God immediately answer our prayers? Why the delay? Why the need to be persistent? Let me suggest one or two possibilities. Maybe God is stretching our faith to make it stronger. Maybe he's like a wise parent who delays for fear of encouraging a spoilt and ungrateful complacency in us. Or maybe he simply knows the time is not yet right. One Christian put it like this: "The waiting times in our lives are often the most testing. Uncertainty can paralyze our faith, but they are also moments of opportunity as we learn to depend on God more fully." Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Never give up.
So let us take a moment, shall we, to just reflect on those words that David shared with us. And let's just, in the quietness of our own hearts, ask God, what does he particularly want to show us? What does he want us to take away from that this morning? And each week throughout Lent, we're continuing to encourage each of us to respond with an action in some way through the Kindness Project. And it's really been lovely to hear some different stories of just people who have received kindness from the Kindness Project in the previous weeks. We've had some lovely stories, particularly from some of the local care homes, who really appreciated the cards and the poems and flowers and other things that people sent in. So if you've been able to bless someone through the Kindness Project activities over the last few weeks, thank you for doing that. And just know that's a great way of sharing God's love. And so here's Ali with this week's instalment, just some ideas that you can share about helping people who might be struggling with fatigue. And then Joan's going to lead us in our prayers.
Hello, and welcome to week four of the Kindness Project. We've been thinking about fatigue this week, and many of us are struggling with fatigue, as are our friends. So today we thought it would be nice to do something to encourage somebody that we can share that with them and we can bring them strength. So thinking about Ecclesiastes 4:12, which says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So us, our friend, and God in the three cord. So today we were going to make friendship bracelets, plaits. And we could make them with, this one's made of string. I've got one made of yarn, colourful yarns. And I've got one that's made of embroidery floss. And it may be that any one of those three things you have around your house. So you can make your plait and then you can give the plait to a friend, explaining that you're there with them, strengthening them, as is God. For our reflective task today, we're thinking about how we can pray for strength for people who are feeling fatigued. So we're suggesting on your daily walk that maybe as you go past a shop or a school, you pray for the people inside that they would have strength to get through, to overcome any fatigue they're feeling. We hope you find these ideas useful, and it'd be lovely to see what you're getting up to on Facebook. Please send us in things that you're doing or other ideas that you've got so that we can see what you've been doing. Goodbye.
Lord, we bring before you the needs of the world. Governments, including our own, leaders of nations, that they would make good decisions with honesty, integrity, and justice for all people. Lord, we lift them to you. We thank you for the church worldwide and for people that we know personally and support, who serve in leadership here or overseas. May they be aware of your protection and peace for themselves and their families. Health and strength as they stand in your name. Ben and Katie in Tanzania, the Fletcher family in Bangkok, Mike Bassous and Eloise in Beirut, and here at home we pray for the Russell family in Greenwich, for the Hornbys with the Bridge Education Centre. Lord, we ask for them, and we bring the church leadership here to you as well and throughout Malvern. Give wisdom to Dave, Peter, Eddie and Helen as they plan ahead and encourage in ministry in individuals. Lord, we lift them to you. We thank you for our younger people of all ages who have been encouraged during Zoom with teaching, activities and fellowship. Bless them in their togetherness and build good memories of the time together. As Eddie and Hannah move on, we ask that the right person would be prompted by God to apply for the post of a youth minister. We continue to pray for young people and their teachers back in classrooms. Help them to adjust, settle, and be patient with one another. Lord, we lift them to you. We are so grateful for our National Health Service and the way we are being cared for here. Listening to Bishop John's Lent appeal, we realise how different it is in Peru, without welfare state and their reliance on help from richer countries. We have been so blessed. May we share the blessing with them. Lord, we lift them to you. Comfort and heal all who are struggling with COVID, their families and carers who are concerned for them, for the dying, for those who mourn. We pray God's strength for those waiting for other hospital treatments. And we just pause for a moment as we remember people that are known to us. Lord, we lift them to you.
And so now as we gather around the Lord's table to celebrate communion, you might like to have some bread and some wine at home to represent just the body and blood of Christ that we share together over the waves right now. But before we do that, we're going to share the peace with each other. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you." If you've got someone at home, do share the peace with them. If not, then please do perhaps give somebody a ring or drop them a text or just think of them in your minds and pray God's peace on them. And so the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the words and I shall be healed. And so draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And so, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And we come to sing our final song, to sing of that glory. To God be the glory, great things he had done. I really encourage you, wherever you are, to sing that out at home and just sing your praises to God. Just before we share the blessing together, I just want to give you one or two notices to update you on where we're at with opening up again. And just the good news is that for those who want to come back in person, we're going to start our midweek service this coming week on Thursday the 18th of March at 12 o'clock, 12 noon at St Andrews, where we're going to record this service that will then be made available next Sunday as our traditional service. So if you'd like to come along and worship in person with communion this week, then do. There'll be normal social distancing and masks and no singing as yet, but it'll be lovely just to gather again, a few of us in person. And then on Sundays, we're looking to open up our Sunday services on Palm Sunday, on Sunday the 28th of March, both at St Andrews, which will be the 10:30 service, which will be, as we've done before, a mixture of the pre-recorded service and some live worship too, and at All Saints for the 10 o'clock service, which will be live streamed and there in person as well. So we'll continue with our online services as we have been doing, but those in-person services for those who are able to come will begin on Sunday the 28th of March. And we'll let you know more information as we things continue to change in the coming weeks. Also to remind you that our evening prayer, which is happening at 9 o'clock each evening on Zoom, on Sundays to Thursdays during Lent, is continuing this week. It's been lovely to gather late in the evening and just spend 15 minutes of time in prayer together. So if you haven't joined us for that yet, why don't you try it this week? It'll be lovely to see some of you. So a final blessing as we go from here. May God give to you and to all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. So wherever you are, go into this week in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.